Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is John Simpson, a veteran journalist and consumer rights advocate with Consumer Watchdog, a nonpartisan, nonprofit public interest group dedicated to providing an effective voice for taxpayers and consumers in an era when special interests and media monopolies dominate public discourse, government, and politics. Welcome to Background Briefing, John Simpson.
Pleasure to be with you.
And this Time Warner Comcast merger, which has been getting a lot of negative press, at least from people I talk to, and it's so flagrantly subject to antitrust, one wonders whether or not it can go forward, but apparently it is. And now we've just learned that the CEO of Time Warner Cable, Rob Marcus, its president and chief operating officer, who's only been on the job 3 months, is getting a $80 million golden parachute for essentially negotiating a deal that rewards himself.
That certainly seems to be what it sounds like, and some of his colleagues are getting whopping golden parachute amounts as well. Chief Financial Officer, I think, is getting $27 million, and the Chief Technology Officer gets $16.3 million. And this whole deal is not about improving things for consumers. It is not in the public interest. It probably violates antitrust law. I'm quite hopeful that the Justice Department will intervene and block it.
Well, this is not the first time that corporate America has rewarded itself for negotiating buyouts. The CEO of Gillette, in 2006, he pocketed $185 million after Gillette was acquired by Procter Gamble in a deal that he helped bring about. So by that comparison, Rob Marcus, the CEO of Time Warner Cable, is getting off. He's a neophyte. But, of course, he's only been on the job for 3 months. That's the part of it that I find extraordinary. Yeah, where do you find a job that you can get $80 million for 3 months' pay?
I
on top of the pay that he already got, by the way. So
yeah, well, you know, the whole CEO salary structure in this country is out of whack. I mean, back in the 60s or so, I mean, the average CEO made maybe 40 times the average salary of the average worker, and now it's up around 400 times the average worker. There's just no justification whatsoever for the high rates of chief executive pay that we're doing in the United States. And this golden parachute stuff has just gotten completely out of hand. But again, the thing that I'm a little optimistic about here is again, the Justice Department has got to look at the deal on strictly an antitrust grounds. And there are all sorts of antitrust reasons that I think may hold it. But beyond that, the FCC has to decide whether it's in the public interest. And it's interesting to note that a number of the state attorneys general have joined the Justice Department and been looking at it for antitrust problems. California's Attorney General Kamala Harris is one of those who's part of that group, as is the Attorney General from Connecticut and some other states as well. So this is not yet by any means a done deal.
Well, just in terms of CEO compensation, apparently the Dodd-Frank financial reform law gave the SEC a little bit more leeway to make it harder for executives to leave companies with these massive golden parachutes. But in terms of what law is restraining this deal? I mean, what antitrust laws are we talking about here?
Well, you're talking about whether they've got a monopoly of two issues. One would be a monopoly over the cable TV aspect of things, and they like to say they don't compete in any of the markets, which is kind of a bogus thing because all of cable television is nothing but a series of local monopolies. So you have to look at the national market and what share the merged companies would have of that. And it gets into a threshold where it starts to raise very serious antitrust issues. The other aspect of it is with broadband, because now both of these companies are major broadband suppliers, and that would also probably be even a higher rate of concentration of Internet broadband access. So those are two areas where they're quite likely running into the issues with antitrust monopoly situation. Beyond that, Comcast is tied up now with Universal, which is a content provider. So you get the situation where you have a content provider who is also controlling the means of distribution, which has some very interesting potential antitrust issues, or certainly issues of being not necessarily a violation of being antitrust law, but not being in the public interest because other content providers would not be able to have equal access to for their content to get to consumers. So those are issues that I think are very troublesome ones that as I say, I'm optimistic the regulatory authorities will take a hard look at.
Again, I'm speaking with John Simpson, a veteran journalist and consumer rights advocate with Consumer Watchdog, a nonpartisan, nonprofit public interest group dedicated to providing an effective voice for taxpayers and consumers in an era when special interests and media monopolies dominate public discourse, government, and politics. So do we know whether this CEO of Time Warner, Robert Rob Marcus, who's getting $80 million after just being in a golden parachute, after just being on the job for 3 months, I wonder if he was there when they had their spat with CBS, Time Warner, where they showed so total arrogant disregard for their customers and consumers by just having this public fight where you couldn't get CBS as a Time Warner subscriber. And, I had to switch cable companies at the time. A lot of people did, but it wasn't particularly convenient, but they didn't care. I mean, it was more important to them to go to the mat with each other like these sort of hard-nosed fraternity boys carrying on in their infantile way. But what I found so objectionable about it was the arrogant attitude that they had, that we consumers are just collateral damage.
Absolutely. And as I recall, he was there not as CEO, but I believe he was in another key executive role, but chief operating officer, perhaps.
Oh, I see. So he got a promotion then, right?
he played a role in all of that.
Right. Where do you find jobs like this, John Simpson? I mean, let me talk. I know you've been.
Well, let me put it this way: if you could find a job like this, would you take it? I think I would. I'd like to think that I wouldn't.
Well, that's true, but I'm being ironic. I mean, I think morally the whole thing is objectionable, but it's the point is that we live in a universe now where you don't have to, in corporate America, you don't have to perform. You just get rewarded no matter what.
Well, if you're the top guy.
Yeah, and it's the same, for example, with like the people who are soaking the treasury, the military-industrial complex. You can build a plane like the F-35 that doesn't work. That's worse than the planes that performs much more inferior to the planes it's replacing, and yet nobody can stop it, So the question now is whether they can stop this Time Warner Comcast merger, given the informational power that Time Warner and Comcast have, and also their lobbying muscle. So what's your sense about pushback from the grassroots on this?
Well, it's going to have to be pushback from the grassroots, because it's certainly the case that Comcast is out in with all of the resources that its millions of dollars for lobbying can buy. They've also put a lot of money into some. They've had a habit of financing various kinds of usually good public interest groups, and who they're now trying to get to rally for their support. And I think we're going to have to push back very hard and try to make the case that it's just not serving the customers and serving the public interest. And again, I'm encouraged by the fact that the state attorneys general are taking up the case, and it's not just the U.S. Justice Department. That's very important.
Well, my understanding, and I know you've been working against Google's monopoly power, which is pretty obvious. And one of the things, though, that I find ironic about this situation is that the merger of Time Warner and Comcast, both of them deliver inferior service than any competitors in the rest of the world. In France, you get about 10 times the speed on your internet for a quarter of the price that you pay here.
That's right.
And it's you get like 1,000 times the speed in South Korea and Japan. And these people don't care. I mean, the guy that at Verizon who put in Fios, the fiber optic high-speed internet, they fired him. Wall Street fired him because he was spending too much money without the quick returns. And now, of course, ironically, the Fios has turned out to be their biggest revenue generator. Mm-hmm. But that just shows you the mindset of these short-term corporate thinking. But the point I'm trying to make here is that my understanding is that Google is laying fiber optics as an alternative to these sclerotic monopolies that deliver you lousy, worse and worse service for more and more money and don't give a damn about the consumer.
I think that is indeed why Google is putting down some of its own fiber optic network, and they're hoping to provide some competition. And I'm a longtime critic of Google for a lot of reasons. But I think that this is a case where they're actually doing something that is very beneficial for the Internet. The only concern one might have about it is, though, of course, if they are an ISP, that means that they get access to everything that goes on over that network, which is different than what they would have now if they only get information through the services that they're providing. So there might be some questions about how they would use the information that's traveling on their networks, whether they'd go into deep packet inspection and some of those kinds of things. But the notion that they're not happy with the quality of broadband service and they're trying to make it better by providing some competition is probably a good thing.
So the alternative, I mean, the opposite of what you just was describing is, for example, the state of Chattanooga, Tennessee, they've laid down fiber as a utility. And I believe the city of Santa Monica, where you are, has done the same thing. And it's attracting business like crazy because, you know, businesses, particularly creative businesses, it's a huge boon to have, you know, high-speed internet. And it's proved to be an enormous job creator for all this nonsense they talk about job creators. And yet these monopolies deny that possibility because they sit on this lousy service they have. They don't want to invest a dime into improving it. So you have examples like the city of Chattanooga, but every time a city or a state tries to have an alternative to these monopolies like Verizon, Comcast, and Time Warner, they get sued.
They pass laws to block it. Pennsylvania was trying to do some essentially publicly owned, at the time I think they were Wi-Fi networks, and they got a law passed that wouldn't let them do it, they being the providers.
So what, I mean, just because they can buy the legislators and somehow the grassroots people just can't make enough noise, or the point is if you make a lot of noise, who the hell's going to cover it if these media companies are a part of the problem?
Well, it's certainly a tough issue. I mean, I think we need to have folks like you out there spreading the word and people like me raising a little hell now and then and trying to keep the heat on the lawmakers, and we sometimes win a battle or so.
Well, we're going to have to win a few more.
I agree with that.
I thank you for joining us here today, John.
It's been a pleasure to talk with you.
Again, I've been speaking with John Simpson, who's a veteran journalist and consumer rights advocate with Consumer Watchdog, a nonpartisan, nonprofit public interest group dedicated to providing an effective voice for taxpayers and consumers in an era when special interests and media monopolies dominate public discourse, government, and politics. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Land here under.
disappear.